Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And my co-host for the program is Stone Payton, a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Well, good morning, sir. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. Always. You're on the road eventually soon, something like that, aren't you?
Well, we're going to go out to Denver, we think, in May for these same folks. But actually, right here in Atlanta, Georgia World Congress Center, February 13th and 14th, Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be at the Training Conference 2012 Expo, and our client, the people we're going to be in their booth, is Training Pros, doing a remote broadcast Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
You have to put on nice clothes for that, don't
well,
you?
Well, you know, I get to wear my nicest jeans, and I'm going to wear the Business Radio X shirt.
There you go.
But I will shave. I'm not even going to shave for you this morning, but I will shave Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Well, that's... Oh. Can we tell? That's not nice.
Yeah, maybe
it?
Not.
No, that's not nice. Well, I'll tell you, we're shifting our focus just a bit with today's show. Our guests are from the realm of business leaders and professionals. In fact, they're also repeat guests. Echo Garrett appeared on the October 18th show for the discussion on the power of writing to stimulate healing and to help others. And Dr. David Galloway was a guest on the December 20th show when we talked about writing for enjoyment as a business leader. And I've asked them to return specifically for today's topic. I've had several folks ask me to share insights on writing articles. Echo and David have each written numerous articles on somewhat of a regular basis for publication. Long time ago, I wrote some articles. Wrote them quite sporadically, I guess, throughout my career. But my hope is, through our conversation and the knowledge and insights of Echo and David, this edition of Right Here, Right Now will be a rich resource for those who are interested in writing articles for publication. Echo Garrett worked at McCall's and Venture, a business magazine, before going freelance a while back, and since then she has written for more than 75 national magazines, newspapers, and websites, and has been contributing writer to Money, Business Week, Management Review, Investors Business Daily, and the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Dr. David Galloway is a senior consultant at Galloway Consulting and holds a PhD in psychology with an emphasis on psychology of religion. As a consultant and as a priest in the Episcopal Church and a professor, David has engaged in extensive article writing. Well, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, as you know from your first appearance, our practice is to interview each one individually and then engage in conversation. But today we're just going to go straight into the conversation mode among all of us. And Stone, you're certainly not that you ever need encouragement, but seriously, today I'd love to have you.
I'm sitting on my phone book and I'm ready to rock.
Oh, we're good. That's good. That's good. So my first, the toss-up question. You remember College Bowl and all that stuff? Toss-up. Besides the length, what's the difference between writing a book and writing an article?
Well, I think for me the big difference is an article, I always look for the what I call the nut graph, the introductory graph that grabs people, and then I find that an article flows from there. But you want that powerful lead introduction that really grabs people's attention, and I spend a lot of time on developing that when I'm writing an article.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're writing, when you're writing an article, everything, you have to get to your point quickly, and you don't have the leisure that you do when you're writing a book. So, yeah, that's the big difference.
Okay. Get to it really quickly.
Yes.
Don't waste time. Don't waste words.
Don't waste words at all.
Okay.
I really like the way Echo framed that in terms of you use the word the nut. I think of it as a hook, which is basically trying to sell the article. And for me, at least in terms of what's the difference between a book and an article, it's basically what you were saying, Echo, which is, I think, focus. It really narrows things down. And for example, For me, it's first of all being clear about what the subject matter, what do I want to get across, and I would die for to get people to understand this thing. Second piece is getting really clear about my target. Okay. Who are the people that I'm talking to? Who do I want to comprehend what I'm trying to say? I think that's maybe the most important piece, and I have actually changed my audience so many times in my life that's really taught me to be very focused about audience. And then finally, I think the most important piece for me, the learning over my last 10 years has been what time is it, which is to address what are the circumstances around this time in an organization or in the country or in a city, in an industry, and to really, pitch it for that. And if you're listening carefully, you'll note that I'm using a lot of sales terminology. And I do think writing, it's a difference between just writing, for yourself and writing for an audience. Mm-hmm. And mostly I write for an audience.
Okay. What I liked about that is your emphasis, David, on the target. And my experience with writers is even if they're writing a book, they're so reluctant to identify that target for fear of losing sales, when in fact just the opposite. And now, Echo, you've written for a wide range of of magazines. When you go after writing, what do you see as your target? Obviously, you've got business people, you've got McCall's, you've got venture.
And I've also done a lot of travel writing as well.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm one of those people who is a generalist, but when I find something that I feel passionate about, I go deep and I tend to mine that particular topic mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways. And that's something that I think your listeners could certainly do. If you have something that captures your interest, just hone in on that. And a lot of times you can spin that same topic to a lot of different publications.
So. Can you say more about that? I kind of go brain dead at that point. I can write about this, but then how would I shift whatever this is? Is it possible to have taken something that you wrote from McCall's and throw it into the Investor's Business Daily, or is that too much of a stretch? Or down to earth, this is what I did.
Yeah. Okay. So for example, the column that I contributed to on Investor's Business Daily, it was a front page column, and they did lifestyle topics. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of things. I might interview a chef at a hotel and talk about different trends when you're on the road, a business person's on the road, where they might want to think about eating mm-hmm. and some of the trends at the restaurants in a wide range of hotels across the country. So sometimes there could be an unexpected angle that you study. If you're interested in writing for a particular publication, mm-hmm. you study what it is that they tend to cover, and then if you have something that you feel passionate about, you like I said, you want to angle it toward that publication.
Okay.
So
how do you make it through the clutter, though? How do you get your wonderful article in front of the right person who wants it, needs it, and can put it to the front of the line? Do you have to build those relationships over years?
In some cases, yes. I think my record was one time I'd written what's called a query. Mm-hmm. So it's usually, again, now the way a lot of times you'll get something in for publication is you'll write the editor of that particular section. You'll give them maybe two paragraphs at the most, and you need to give them the hook of your article. I like that word, the hook, and then give them a little bit about why you are the perfect person to write that particular piece. Mm-hmm. And And my record, though, was sent in a query to an editor, and he literally called me 2 years later.
2 years.
Yes.
That's great.
Well, I like Stone. I went to Echo's bio page last night, and actually what she did to get in front of people was to move from Tennessee to New York City. Right?
There's an idea.
Yeah, and I worked in magazines for a couple of years to because I figured that was a good way, because I wanted to understand the process of being on the other side
of the
table.
Do they rewrite it? When you send in story A, do they take a look at it and they say, okay, that's great, but then did they start rewriting it a little bit, or they pretty much need it to be well-written when it hits their desk?
It depends on the publication. I've been a journalist for 30 years, so and at this stage in my career, I typically don't get very heavily edited, but I'm also one of those people, I'm not married to whatever it is I write, and I appreciate a good editor because they can make you look even better. So that's a common mistake that writers, because I've been on both sides of the desk, and that is a common mistake that mm-hmm. writers make, especially if they're not as experienced, is they'll give an editor a hard time about changing. Editing, and that's not a way to
that's
win friends
thing,
and influence people.
David, you're making copious notes there.
No, I was just thinking about, you know, your question as in terms of how you arrive at writing articles, and for many times for me, I've written in academic mm-hmm. Settings where that's sort of you're commanded mm-hmm. to write, mm-hmm. so. And you write for specific journals. And I was joking earlier with Echo that when a couple of the articles that I wrote, I think, were only read by two Himalayan monks. You know, because it's
but they were read.
They were read. But it's sort of that's one style. And sometimes I get solicited mm-hmm. by people to write. Mm-hmm. I wrote in a music magazine in Texas, and so I was solicited to write around folk music, and that was just a pleasure. And then sometimes I feel sentenced mm-hmm. to write. I mean, I have to write this on this particular topic, and that's when they chain me in my writer's garret, and you know, I produce. You know, uh-huh, I produce, uh-huh. and you just have to do it. So it's all kind of different ways and all kind of different leads, but Echo has had such extensive experience with so many different magazines. It's very impressive. Mine has evolved through time, and it's basically, you know, for the most part, I write what I want to, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, the first article that, excuse me, I wrote really as an article with the intent for publication was after I came back from Peru and had studied with a shaman. And I was getting a publication out of Asheville, North Carolina, you know, a magazine, newspaper kind of thing. I'm totally blanking on it. I think it was something like the New Life Journal, but someone had written in about becoming like a Native American. They had gone off and studied with somebody, and it was a Native American. And so now that student, if you will, understood what it was to be Native American. And I just, oh, man. My article was on, I've spent 10 days with a Peruvian Mayan shaman, and there is no way I'm going to claim being Peruvian Mayan.
No. Right.
But I understand what I can do with what I've learned. And so that, you know, it is not our job to claim what we aren't, but to see what we can become through what we've learned. And it got published. And I was ecstatic. That was my bit most recently. I've heard it said, and I was doing some research. I actually did some research for today. And one of the things I read said that a lot of people, when they begin to think they have a book, actually have an article.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's another toss-up question. Who wants to go with that?
Well, I've actually been on the receiving. Occasionally, I've pitched book proposals to an agent, and they've said come back with that response.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I think a good way to test that out, actually, if you are thinking of writing a book, mm-hmm. a lot of times you can get you can test your audience. You can also perhaps get connections by writing a series of articles on the topic you're thinking mm-hmm. might make a book. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it go the other way. Sometimes people will write an article, and then the right people see it and say, hey, you need to, can you do a book on this? Yeah, there's a book in this. So I think it's worth mining. Again, it's that idea of what you're really passionate about and what your business is focused on. If you want to become, I have a lot of writer friends who've really made themselves experts in a certain arena.
Mm-hmm.
I just chose to go a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a really valuable and smart thing to do, is just to, if you are excited about something, to just start writing about that topic and just hammer it so that you become known, you become branded
okay.
on that topic.
All right.
I think as it evolves, and for me, it's always been a matter of evolution in terms mm-hmm. of how things come about, and in business in particular, my experience has been that many times people who are academic types, mm-hmm. like the chairman of our board at Galloway, Bob Miles, has written many books around transformation and change.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, he has found ways to make a succinct article that gets at as Echo said, the nut
mm-hmm.
of his book. And that's a way to get out there in a very broad way, to cast the net broadly.
Okay.
The other thing that I just want to mention is I think that the whole notion of the internet has really changed the entire industry. And mm-hmm. So now people are writing, they're blogging, they're doing all kinds of things that are really articles,
mm-hmm.
and they're incredibly accessible. They're incredibly quick turnarounds,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like, if you're writing for Harvard Business Review,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about a good 9 months, you know, lead.
Sure.
So I love the quickness of it. Appeals to me to be able to sit down, crank something out, and it's immediately accessible to mm-hmm. people.
Now, last time you were on, David, you talked about you write about 2 hours every day.
Yep.
What are you writing? Are you writing articles? Are you writing what you hope will be a book, a combination?
I'm writing a book on leadership based on the Galloway model, and that's evolved through a lot of incarnations, working mm-hmm. as a community organizer, working with nonprofits, working now with healthcare. But in any case, that's what I'm doing. And what that the form that takes many times is writing specific articles that we're pushing out to our clients
okay.
to help them understand maybe a new way of looking at things, a new way of doing things, something they hadn't thought of. We want it to be add value
mm-hmm.
for them to read that article and go, gosh, I didn't think about that. And many times what we're trying to do is also lead them into a deeper into a more elaborate formulation of what we've said, like an article or a book.
Mm-hmm. And as you said there, or a book, and that's the thought that came to my mind, is there's really nothing new out there. It's how you take what already exists and look at it and say, apply it this way. And that's what I heard you saying you're doing. And that's critical. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm seeing the blogging piece of it is becoming more and more important. And again, mm-hmm. if you do have a topic that you're particularly interested in, that's a great way to... getting back to Stone's question earlier, that's a great way to attract an editor's attention
mm-hmm.
is to have a smart blog that's a good way to just get in the habit of writing.
Okay.
Because David mentioned that, or you mentioned that he writes two hours each day.
Yeah.
that discipline is really important because it does. I find that the more I write, the more I write. And you get.
I understand that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You get the wheels rolling. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Do you have an article you're working on right now, Echo?
Actually, I have a couple of articles that I'm working on. I'm actually in the pitch mode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that gets back to the question about how you spin things. It's the same topic. It's a unusual author's event down in a tiny town of Jefferson, Texas, called Girlfriend's Weekend, with a lady named Kathy Patrick, who's very influential in the literary world. And it attracts big-name authors and more than 400 book lovers from around the nation this tiny town of 2,000 people. So I have several different queries that I'm angling for different publications, everything from Parade magazine to National Geographic Traveler to More magazine and AARP. And I've got different angles for each one.
Okay, so. And there you've just kind of added to what you said earlier about different angles on stuff. Well,
yeah.
David, does Jefferson, Texas, did they get to hear your melodious voice when you were on the air?
I've been through there. I've been through there. I went through quickly. As they say, happiness is Jefferson, Texas in your rearview mirror.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a beautiful town, actually. Yeah, it really is. But all, you know, that's one of the things I really love is, I found so many ideas for articles by traveling mm-hmm. and going to towns and meeting people. I met a guy, Mark Savoy, who is out of Eunice, Louisiana, and he is known as the Cajun philosopher. And I went there.
We got to get him on the show.
Well,
yeah.
You'd be lucky. You'd be lucky. He plays once a year. He plays at Carnegie Hall with his wife, Anne Savoy, and Michael Doucet, who plays with Beausoleil. But I went with Mark, and I went to this amazing musical event and watched people's lives. These guys who had worked in blue-collar work for, you know, all week, and they come in with their musical instruments, and he calls them by name. And when he calls their name, you can see them straighten up, and they're somebody. They're musicians, not factory workers.
Uh-huh.
And out of that, I got one of the best articles I've ever written by traveling and eating boudin and drinking Dixie beer with Mark Savoy at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
and
my.
It was wonderful. And I tend to do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
I look for interesting people mm-hmm. and interesting things.
Now, I guess that's the mindset thing. Can both of you expand on that?
I think one of the things you want to always have a little notebook or pad of paper with you, because you never know when inspiration is going to strike.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll overhear a little bit of conversation in a cafe, or you may come across, like you said, you have this wonderful experience and you meet someone really unexpected, and you know that person has a great story to mm-hmm. tell. And so always being prepared with a pen and piece of paper so that you can jot, because you think actually I was at that book event. I listened to John Berendt, who of course wrote Midnight in the Garden mm-hmm. of Good and Evil, and he mentioned that you always want to record your first impressions.
Oh.
Because you only get that opportunity once. And you think you're going to remember, and if you don't jot it down then, it slips away, and it becomes commonplace to you very quickly. So
if you drink early in the morning, like Galloway's suggesting, you got to get your thoughts down quick because you'll forget them by the afternoon, right?
Well, that would be you.
I'm building my tip sheet over here.
I understand.
I think that's why Hemingway wrote early in the day.
Yeah.
Well, he had other business to take care of in the late afternoon.
Exactly.
So. I'll make a pitch for Levenger. They have these little pocket 3x5, they call it 3x5 briefcase, but it's just a card. And I stick that in my coat, and I carry it with me. and I'm constantly writing stuff down. And my son, who's a writer, he writes songs, but he has a book that he carries with him everywhere he goes, and he's writing thoughts for songs. I just think that's a real primitive, simple way to do it,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't have a lot of gadgetry connected to it. But it just, for me, it works mm-hmm. to have it just so immediate and mm-hmm. be able to. It's just gold for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that first impression thing, Echo, that you mentioned, and what it triggered for me was back in 2006. I took my sons Joel and Sean to Ghana, West Africa, where I had lived mm-hmm. for 3 years way back when, and in fact, Joel was born there. And always a place that I liked to go was to go to Amedjefe and Jemmy Mountain. Now, for us, it would be a hill. But in the flatlands of Africa, that was a mountain. And when you go up to the top of it, and it was easily accessible on a path in about 10 minutes, could see forever, could really see forever. And it just was always a spiritual thing for me. And I watched my boys, who would have been 26 and 22 at the time, trying to figure out what their reaction was. And I was afraid to ask, but when we got down, and later in the day we were talking about that, they said, what a mystical place and what an amazing first impression and experience. And what they shared with me was what their mother and I had felt the first time we had gone up. And I somehow wished that I had asked when we were up there. We might have stayed longer, but that first impression is just so powerful, mm-hmm. so powerful. Get it down.
I guess the other off of that, you know, as a young man, I used to be really romantic about writing, that mm-hmm. I had to find that mystical, misty mountain from which I would, listen to the muse, and mm-hmm. I would write. Truth is, as I've gone through my life, it's really, as Echo said earlier, it's that discipline mm-hmm. of sitting down at that desk, that mm-hmm. damnable desk, and picking up pen and applying it and seeing what comes. And you really don't know. I mean, the funniest thing that happened to me was I was trying to write an article on the Appalachian Trail. And so I went up and I hiked into Springer Mountain. And I went up there and I was going to meditate on the rock and then come up with some great, fabulous ideas. Well, I'm meditating and all of a sudden I hear the motor of a mm-hmm. car. It's a van full of Japanese tourists who bail out and who all have their cameras going, clicking, mm-hmm. and there I am trying to sit and meditate and be quiet and receive this word, and they are interfering,
mm-hmm.
and so I had to move on down the trail. But it's the kind of thing that I find that you really can't manipulate those epiphanies, mm-hmm. and they just happen. But as Echo said, the more you write, the more you write.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit, set a time and you sit and you write,
mm-hmm.
regardless, mm-hmm. that's what opens it up for me.
I'd say also, just to follow on that, I think don't be afraid to get feedback, especially if you're just learning how mm-hmm. to write articles and how to position them. Consider joining a writer's group and put your work out there for other people to look at, and mm-hmm. be willing to get help and input. I've been doing this 30 years, but I have a group of writers, and they're all over the country, and we have a little Google group, and mm-hmm. we communicate all throughout the day with each other, and we share work with each other, and we help make each other better.
Mm.
So what's the upside and the downside of, you write this great article that you like and you want the world to read it, Venture doesn't want to publish it. What's the upside and the downside to going through one of these free or inexpensive distribution services and just getting it out there in the cyber world?
Again, it's not targeted, and honestly, most editors aren't going to pay attention to it if it comes in that way. Editors, they're just like any of us. They want to know that you know their publication, you know what they're looking for, that you've at least thought about them. Um, uh, I I've never used that sort of thing, but I, like I said, I've been an editor at several different times in my career, and I wouldn't, occasionally I would get these blasted things blasted into my email or whatever, and you're getting so much that's really good, it's very competitive, that you have to have an on-target message for a particular publication, in my view.
You also don't get paid.
Yeah.
How's that for a downside?
Yeah. That's a downside.
Yeah, that's a downside. I mean, but it depends on your goals. I mean, sometimes there can be a business person who simply wants to get a particular message out, and if they're a really good writer, well, bully for that person. That's great. Of course, it takes money out of my pocket because I make a living at this. So,
Is there a difference, substantively, should we say, between writing an article and writing a chapter of a book that is going to have a whole lot of other chapters contributed by other people?
I think there is. I mean, I think that the article sort of has to stand on its own. And so you have to, again, the focus, and as Echo said earlier, you have to get in and get out. It has to be succinct. Whereas a book, if a book is worth its salt, it necessarily flows from chapter to chapter. There's a kind of integrity to the book, to the narrative. And so I think it's quite different. And an article, I think, calls you to a discipline, which is, you know, you have to be very clear very quickly.
Yeah, I think he
nodding heads do not work on radio.
Yeah, I think he summed it up. It's a book builds, each chapter builds on the previous chapter. Mm-hmm. So to me, it is a little different. I mean, of course, a talented editor can do a nice excerpt of a book, but that's I see him in a very different, I'm in a very different mindset.
Sure.
When I'm in article writing mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've been pumping the questions out. Do you guys want to ask each other anything that I haven't come up with? This is that risky question, isn't it, Stone? We could be faced with quiet.
I don't think so. Not with this group.
Yeah.
I'm when I met Echo this morning, I was very, very impressed with the breadth of where she writes. And so how do you decide, you know, when you have all these different options, how do you decide which one you want to pitch?
Well, a few years ago, I shared this when I was on the show last time, I decided that I wanted to write. My mission statement was that I wanted to write stories that inspire people to greatness. Mm-hmm. And for instance, the reason I'm so passionate about Kathy Patrick's work with Girlfriends Weekend is she uses it to raise money for children's literacy. Because that's one of the second poorest county in Texas is where she resides. And so she does a lot of work through Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, for instance. And so I tend to gravitate toward topics that I think will do good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at that stage in my career. Or I'll write about a business person who, again, is using his or her business to accomplish something great in the world. So,
okay,
that's a great answer. I think you know, making the a professor of mine years ago said that writing is an ethical decision, and I really like that because it's the notion that you only have so much energy and time to spend, and so therefore how you spend it is an ethical decision, and you can waste time, mm-hmm. or you can really do good. And I love the fact that your writing is flowing out of a deeper mission statement, a deeper purpose. And that's what, you know, when I'm working with business folks now, I try to get them in touch with that deeper purpose, people who, you know, you would think people who work in hospitals would necessarily have that deeper purpose, and generally that's why they got into healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of it is regulations, bureaucracy, just getting the job done day in, day out, creates a sediment that sort of settles in over their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do is get them back in touch with the fire that gave them a sense of calling to what they're doing.
Well, that's powerful. You notice that Echo and I have been writing notes madly while you've been saying. Have you written an article on that concept, David?
Yeah, I have, and it's one of the things that I talk about in terms of leadership. It's one of my heuristic images of leadership, which is a balance between vision and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have vision, it's not going to go. But if you're not in touch with reality, you're not going to be able to make it real.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of keeping that balance. We talk about the sweet spot where people have both. I have to say that in leadership, a lot of the hospitals and healthcare systems we work at, helping people to recapture a vision and to state it winsomely is really the trick.
Oh, that's powerful.
Well, it is. It's very powerful. Sounds like a great article. Let's put it under Echo's byline so that we get a lot of people to read it, right?
There you go.
What do you mean? What do you mean, rock?
I like that. That could be a powerful team, the two of you creating stuff.
There you go.
Man, who knew?
And you get 10%, right?
Something like that, at least. I mean, I brought you guys here, didn't I?
You did.
So, hey, look, people want to be in contact with you, maybe get whatever you've got books out there, of course, Echo. And David, maybe people are interested in Galloway Consulting. How should people be in touch with you, Echo?
They can get in touch with me at echo@echogarrett.com.
And that's a double R and double T, right?
Double R and double T,
okay.
Yes. And it's Echo spelled just like the Greek nymph, E-C-H-O.
Or that thing that keeps going back when you speak
exactly.
out in the mountain, right?
Exactly.
I like your image is better, though.
Yeah, I like the nymph thing. That's
yeah, I
nice,
do, too.
Nice.
And David, people want to be in touch with you.
D. Galloway, G-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y, at gallowayconsulting.net.
Okay. Any final comments? Stone, anything?
Oh, I love it. I love listening to smart, passionate people talk about what they're doing. And you can see the deeper mission and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it, I hope, over the airwaves. You can certainly see it. Sitting in the studio with these two, it's inspiring.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
It makes me want to go write.
Good. Good. And your revised book came out, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We revised his book, and it's a good one.
I handed all the stuff to Dr. Tim in a grocery bag, and I said, fix it. Is that like you do with your accountant every year, you know?
Yeah,
there you go. Well, hey, the clock is on us like it does every week, and we welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. As always, thank you, Stone, for co-hosting, throwing in your questions and insights. And thank you to our guests, Echo Garrett and Dr. David Galloway. And I always give guests two opportunities, not always this close together, but again, Echo, your contact information.
Echo, E-C-H-O, at echogarrett.com. Two R's, two T's.
Okay. And David?
D. Galloway at gallowayconsulting.net.
Okay. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rightchoiceservices.com, and that's W-R-I-T-E, rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I always encourage you to send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads of each of the shows that appears later in the day. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison, and join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.